How's everybody doing today? Joe and Amy have a reason to be tired, amen. You guys put out some good hamburgers, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. If you're just joining us this morning online, we are in a sermon series of Ten Commandments, and next Sunday will be the last one. And I have to ask one more time, how many of you memorized the Ten Commandments? Does anybody want to come up here and do them? Have you already done them, Gabby? Come on, adults. Any adults want to come up here? Don't all speak it. Grace, you want to do it? Do you know them? Come on up here. Come on. Huh? Come on, I'll help you. Everybody clap for her. I love putting people on the spot. Okay, number one, go.
Number one?
Yeah.
there's only one God, no idols, do not misuse the Lord's name, honor the Sabbath, obey your parents, do not kill, do not covet, do not commit adultery, sorry. Do not steal, do not lie, and then, and then 10 is do not covet.
Okay. Macy went to Indianapolis with her mother because she probably thought I was going to put her on the spot. So Gracie got to do it today. Anyway, you only got one more week if you want to do them. So even if you don't want to walk up here, you can memorize the Ten Commandments in 30 minutes. You can do that. So I encourage you to do that. Well, as we come to commandment number 9, you shall not bear false testimony against your neighbor. I know what you're thinking. Finally, we come to one that I can do. Good luck. Because I have found that this was one of the toughest, if not the toughest one of all. And I love commandment number 9 because it kind of goes with commandment number 8. Do not steal, do not lie. They kind of go together. Now, how many of you, be honest with me, how many of you have never told a lie? Bill, you ever told a lie? Yeah. Well, if you're sitting there, you don't want to raise your hand, but you're thinking in the back of your mind, no, I've never told a lie. You're going to be surprised by the time we get through. Now, I want you to look, if you have your Bible open, to commandment number 9 here. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. I want you to get the setting. It's a courtroom setting, and God is putting this in a courtroom setting, knowing that you're going to have to get up on the stand. You're going to have to tell the truth. And you're not to bear false witness against your neighbor. So kind of get that picture in your mind, because that's the setting that God wants you to have. When we were kids, when someone told us a lie, or when we lied, everybody in school knew about it. You know why? We would say this, liar, liar, pants on fire, your nose is as long as a telephone wire. Now, I actually had to look up the last part because I forgot what it was. But we would say that. And you could not go the day or even the week without someone saying, liar, liar, pants on fire. It was embarrassing. And after that, you learn not to tell any lies because everybody knew it, including the teachers and the principal. Well, as we get older, we become way more mature and we just say, liar, liar. We forget the pants on fire part, don't we? Aren't we mature? Liar, liar. And most of us are guilty, whether we realize it or not. Maybe not of big black lies, but what about white lies? Telling half-truths. Listen to these. The check is in the mail. Well, I'm walking the check to the mail right now. I'll start my diet tomorrow. When you know, because Fall Festival is this week, you have no intention of starting a diet. Amen? How about this one? We service what we sell. Yeah. Been there before. You'll love this one. One size fits all. I'm finding that's not to be true as I get bigger and older. Or this one. Offer is limited to the first 100 people. When in retrospect, it's not for anyone, because they're gonna get you somehow. Leave us your resume and we'll keep it on file. Yeah, right. As soon as you walk out the door, what happens? This will hurt you more than it hurts me. That's a lie. It hurts. Amen. When you go to the doctor. How many of you have had a colonoscopy? Well, maybe you shouldn't raise your hand. Because they used to say that this won't hurt a bit, or you won't feel a thing. How about this one? I just need 5 minutes of your time. When in reality, you end up spending an hour at least talking to this person. I love this one. Your table will be ready in just a few minutes. Right. Not to mention any names, Texas Roadhouse. How about this one? This one always gets me. We'll be right with you. And I just want to say, today or tomorrow? And Sherry will know this happened to me. I was on the phone with Springfield for over an hour. Did they ever answer the phone, Sherry? No, I hung up on them. Now, sometimes I struggle with patience. Anyone else? But I was doing something else at the time, so I put Springfield on the line for a while, but they never did answer my phone call. I can't imagine that ever happening in the state of Illinois, can you? But you know what? Sometimes we lie and we don't even realize it. How about governing officials? Read my lips, no new taxes, right? Did you do it? What is it? Remember that? Little white lies, half-truths, things that we think is okay after a while because we just got used to saying it. How about this one? Just wear this mask and we promise you'll never get sick. Everybody say, and we try to wear our mask and we try to do the right thing, but how many people have got sick even with the mask? One survey revealed that 60% of Americans could not make it an entire day without telling some type of lie. Now, that's scary. It is. Now, this could never happen in the church. The church could never be guilty of telling a lie. No congregational members or leaders could ever be guilty of telling a lie, right? How about this one? I'll see you tomorrow in church. Oh, really? I need to call them and say, hey, I missed you. You said you were coming, but you didn't. Or this one, yeah, we're going to start coming to church soon, and a year later, they're still not there. So even lies happen in the church. I thought this was kind of funny. One morning, the minister finished up his sermon, and he asked the people of the church, I want you to read Mark chapter 7 for next week. Everyone, raise their hand. We'll read it. So the very next week, the minister said, all of you people that read Mark chapter 17, please stand up. Almost every person in the room stood up, and he said these words, you are precisely the people I wish to talk to this morning, because there is no Mark chapter 17. The Gospel of Mark ends with chapter 16. They lied to their minister. So be careful when I ask you to do an assignment, because you better check into your homework. Wow. So when I ask you to memorize the Ten Commandments, how many of you are really doing it? Just be honest. I want to encourage you to do it next week. Well, let's get in this thing before I get in trouble. Pull out your notes and follow along. How can we avoid bearing false testimony against our neighbor? Well, number one, first of all, do not bear false testimony by gossiping about somebody. How many of you have ever been guilty of gossip? Do not raise your hand. Because you live in a small town of Lawrenceville, Illinois, and I know how it goes. Listen to this, because it usually starts out something like this. Did you hear what I heard about so-and-so? How many of you have ever heard that before? How about this one? Guess what I heard? Don't say it. Have you heard the latest? It's easy, isn't it, in a small town? And you think in a small town it wouldn't happen, but I found that it happens more in a small town than it does in a big town, because everybody knows everybody. Not bearing false witness includes not repeating malicious stories, not passing on hearsays, and not demeaning anyone, even if it sounds really good. In other words, don't be like the lady who jabbed her neighbor over the phone and says, "Hey, you know, I wouldn't say anything about her unless it was really, really good. And it's really, really good." I like that one. Sometimes we talk about other people and we don't even realize we're doing it because we have done it so long. And what it entails is gossip. Talking about someone that you don't know for sure is true. I read a poem the other day about gossip, and it was entitled "The Snake That Poisoned Everyone." Listen to the words. "It topples governments, it wrecks marriages, it ruins careers, it destroys reputation, it causes headache, nightmares, indigestion, it spawns suspicion, generates griefs, dispatches innocent people to cry in their pillows, even its name hisses." What is it? It's gossip. Office gossip, shop gossip, party gossip, phone gossip. It makes the headlines and also makes headaches. So before you repeat the story, ask yourself, is it true? Is it fair? Is it necessary? If not, please be quiet. And that's true. Pretty good advice. I don't know if Katie and Roger had Professor Carlos Gupton at Johnson Bible College. But in one of our preaching classes, Carlos Gupton, who's also a full-time minister and professor, he said this. I had people coming to me in the office, church office, and they were saying, "Hey, did you hear this about so-and-so? Did you hear about this about so-and-so?" And Carlos Gupton finally got so tired of it that he has a plan. Whenever someone comes into his office and they say, "Do you know what I heard about so-and-so?" Carlos Gupton will say, "No, I never heard that. Why don't you accompany me to my car and we'll go to their house and we'll talk to them about it and see if it's true." He said that cut all the gossip out of my congregation. And I say amen. Ephesians 4:25 says, "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body." 2 Corinthians 12:20, Paul says, "For I am afraid that when I, Paul, come, I may not find what I want to be, and you may not find what you want to find in me. I fear that there is discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder." Guess what? If Paul had problems in the first century church, I'm convinced that we're going to have problems in the 21st century church. Amen? Proverbs 11:13 says, "A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret." Friends, bearing false witness against another person is very tempting, especially in a small town. But you need to realize this, it is also very sinful. So ask yourself the next time you hear something, should I repeat this or should I zip it? Number two, do not bear false testimony by distorting the truth. Sir Walter Scott once said, "Oh, what tangled webs we weave when first we practice to deceive." And if only Sir Walter Scott was here today, I am convinced that Sir Walter Scott would repeat that phrase, "Oh, what tangled webs we weave when first we practice to deceive." Can I just say, when you don't tell the truth, you're a tangling web. Do you remember what Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden? When God said, "You are not to partake of the fruit that is in the middle of the garden." And what did Satan say? "You won't die. You won't die. You'll be like God. You won't die." But she did. And you know what? You and I are dying. Are you dead this morning? We're dying because of the decision she made, because Satan deceived her. Friends, I want you to know that Satan is in the deceiving business. He wants to distort the truth. He wants you to stretch it just as far as you can. And you can handle little black lies. You can ignore them. But what about the little white lies? What about the little half-truths? Do you remember the story of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis 12? Turn over in your Bibles real quick. I'm not going to read it. I'm going to paraphrase it. Abraham and Sarah, they were traveling to Egypt because there was a great famine in the land. And when he was about to enter Egypt, he was approached by the Egyptians and Pharaoh, and they saw his beautiful wife, Sarah. And Abraham got scared. He thought, "If they see my beautiful wife, Sarah, they'll kill me so they can have her for themselves." So Abraham, he devised a little scheme. He would say, I'm her brother. She's my sister. And that made Pharaoh and the Egyptians happy. So they took Abraham and they took Sarah in. And we don't know what all they did with Sarah. We don't talk about that. But they also blessed Abraham with flocks of sheep and donkeys and goats and all the like. But here's what happened. Because of that sin that Abraham caused, there was a great infection of diseases all over Egypt. And when Pharaoh found out what Abraham had done, he was furious. You remember that? And he called Abraham in and he says, what have you done? You told me this was your sister, but in reality it was your wife. What Abraham did that day caused an entire nation to get sick. Well, here's the truth. You may not know this, but technically, Abraham and Sarah were brothers and sisters, half-brothers and sisters. Wow. They had the same mother, but they didn't have the same father. I get it backwards. But you know what? If the father of our faith can distort the truth, and say that Sarah was actually his sister, if it's all right for him, then it must be all right for us, right? No. And if he can do that, I want you to know that you can do it, and I can do it. And if we're not careful, the truth, if we tell the truth, we're fine. But if we tell a lie, and we tell it long enough, we begin to what? We begin to believe it. We begin to believe it's true. Abraham distorted the truth, and sometimes we do too. But we don't distort the truth in America, do we? We don't do that. I guess you heard about the lawyer who fell over dead of a heart attack on his 40th birthday. He immediately found himself standing before St. Peter at the pearly gates, and St. Peter greeted him, shakes his hand, and he says, congratulations. Congratulations for what? The attorney said. Congratulations on your 160th birthday. But that's not true, said the lawyer. I'm only 40 years old. That's impossible, said St. Peter, because we've added up all of your timesheets, and according to your timesheets, you are about 160 years old. Busted. Yeah, we tell lies in America. No new taxes. You ever heard that one? When I was a kid, I believed everything that was written in the paper. I believed everything that was spoken on TV. Man, was I deceived. And you know what? You may already know this about me, but I watch very little news. My father-in-law, I don't know if he's listening today, he watches the news all the time. And I said, why are you depressed? I don't know. You're depressed because you watch the news all the time. You know why? Because they have a hard time telling the truth. Can I get an amen? The real sad problem is this. Many people will encourage other people only if they can stretch the truth just a little bit. Have you ever had someone come to you and encourage you to lie? If you've ever been in court, that might have happened to you. Just forget about it. Don't say anything. Let it go. Let bygones be bygones. They won't know. Just keep quiet. You ever heard that before? I have. That's telling a half-truth or a little white lie, not the whole truth. It kind of reminds me of the New Hampshire farmer who took his horse to the veterinary. He said, one day my horse limps and the next day he doesn't limp. What should I do, doctor? And the vet advised him, on the day he limps, go and sell him. That's a lie. That's a white lie. That's not telling the full truth. That is being completely dishonest. That is bearing false witness against one person. The bottom line is he was distorting the truth. The same can be said when it comes to selling a house, a car, selling something on Marketplace or eBay, clocking in early at work when you're not really working, or just not being honest about something or someone. Just this week, I heard about a father and son who were trying to sell his car because he wanted a different car. So he put it on for sale online, and someone called, and they were interested in the car, and they came over and looked at the car, and they were getting ready to hand over the cash, and the father said, before you give me the cash, I think you need to know something about the car. The car knocks a little bit when you get on it. It has a little bit of an exhaust leak that you can't hear very well. And the AC is going to need a new compressor here before long. To make a long story short, the guy didn't sell the car that day, and the son was furious with his dad. He said, "Dad, I want a new car, and you had the car for sale, and he was going to buy it, and you said that." When his father passed away, the son read his eulogy, and he said this: "My father was a man of integrity. My father could be trusted. He was a man of truth." Friends, when I come to the end of my journey, and when you come to the end of your journey, wouldn't it be great if your son and daughter read your eulogy and they said, "He or she was a man or a woman of integrity." 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of struggles." Satan's goal, let me be reminded of you of this, is to kill, steal, and destroy. He don't care about you. He hates you. He wants you to go to the same place he's going to go, and that is eternal hell. Can I encourage you today? Resist him. Tell the truth. Do not bear false witness against anyone. Stop telling little white lies and be honest with everyone you come encounter with. Well, there's a third and final way we can keep from bearing false testimony against our neighbor or others, and that is this: by remembering our lives are marked by integrity. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, then you need to remember that you live differently than the rest of the world. You have a higher standard. And here's the thing. You need to remember this. You're going to be judged more strictly than others because you're a Christian. You need to be a person of integrity. Don't disappoint God on the day that you stand before Him. What is integrity anyway? Here, write it down. Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprights. I'll read it again. Integrity is a quality of being honest and having strong moral principles and moral uprightness. How many times in your lifetime has someone come up to you and said, "Friend, you are a man or a woman of integrity, and I trust you. I trust you." I don't know about you, but I throw up a red flag when someone says, "Just trust me. Trust me." Because I don't always trust people, do you? Because I know that a lot of people don't always tell the truth. And unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't always tell the truth. This actually happened to me. I had a friend of mine come to me at a previous church I ministered at. And he came in my office and he said, I want you to know something. He said, "I used to work for one of your congregational members, and this is just one of the many instances that happened at the place." He said, "I was changing a tail light bulb. The lady had brought her car in. She needed a tail light bulb. And he put the bulb in, put the cover back on, and got to ready to fill out the invoice. And the owner, who was a member of my congregation, said, make it about $100. He said, "I can't afford for people to bring small projects into my shop and me to make a living." I wasn't very happy. Friends, I want you to know, if he can't make a living working on cars, maybe he needs to get another part-time job. Amen. As a Christian, he is a man of integrity. And when you do certain things like that, being dishonest, and maybe that lady had more money than he did, that does not give him the right as a Christian to overcharge her for something. Proverbs 10:9 says, "Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out." I found out about him. He didn't know that, but I did. Proverbs 28:6, "Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways." And then Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "A righteous man walks in integrity. Blessed are his children after him." Friends, if you are dishonest in the way you do business, if you're dishonest in the way you clock in or clock out at work, if you're dishonest in your dealings, whether it be buying a house, selling a car, whatever it is, you remember something. Your little kids are watching you. And if you're dishonest and you don't follow what's right, guess what? There's a real good chance that your kids are going to follow down the same pathway as you. I want you to know this is a tough one. It's tough not to tell a white lie. It's tough not to tell a half-truth. And here's another one. It's tough not to be silent. I want you to keep in mind one scripture, Philippians 4:8, this week. I want you to ponder it all throughout the week. Paul says in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Philippians 4:8. I think if you focus on those things, it'll keep you from telling those little white lies that we sometimes do. Has anyone ever called your house and said, "Hey, are you out of bed?" And you jump out of bed real quick so you don't have to lie. You say, "Yeah, I'm out of bed. Got your pajamas on. You're getting ready to get right back in bed." But you know that the real truth was you were really in bed. How many of you, go ahead and raise your hand. Have you ever did that before? Both of you? I know. But Paul says in this verse, think about it. Concentrate it. Put it in your mind. Put it in your heart. And when you go to work, and when you have to deal with Christians and non-Christians alike, be honest. Be truthful. Don't stretch the truth. Don't tell little half-truths. And don't be silent. At Toyota, they had a thing. No way liked it. But here was their saying: if you see something, say something. And man, when we'd knock over some lights or something that were really expensive, we'd jump off our Ford trucks and we'd put that box back together and we'd put it back on the skid as fast as we can. And someone say, "See, I saw that." Yeah. And then the next time they do it, I said, "Yep, saw that." It's easy to be dishonest if we're not careful. And when you swear by the Almighty God that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, you better do that. Amen. I don't care if anyone tells you, don't do it. You do it anyway. As we come to our time of invitation, maybe lying is something that you really struggle with. And maybe you were taught by some other person, a parent, a grandparent, a friend, or maybe a professional who coaxed you into lying in court. We see lying all around us. We see it in our schools. We see it in our government. We see it in our businesses. And sometimes we even see it in the church. Sometimes we lie to get ahead. Sometimes we lie because we're accustomed to it. Sometimes we lie just because we know we won't get caught. But I believe the biggest reason we lie is this: because our heart's not right with God. We don't think that God really loves us. We don't think that God really cares what happens to me. It's not really a tell the truth problem. It's a heart problem. John 8:31, write it down. It says, the truth will what? The truth will set you free. And if you're here this morning and you need to be set free, let me assure you today that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he gave his one and only life for you. He died for you. And don't think that you're worthless, and don't think that you're entitled to it, and don't think it's okay to tell a little white lie, and don't think it's okay to be quiet. Because it's not. The truth, all of the truth, will set you free. Free indeed, amen? Do not bear false witness against anyone. Let's pray. Father God, this is so hard. Because we could write books on half-truths. Every one of us. The things we've heard, the things that we've gotten so accustomed to, it becomes easy. And if you do them long enough, those little white lies, they become truth because we begin to believe it. Lord, help us realize as Christians that we're to be set apart, different than the rest of the world. And even though we're made fun of, that's okay. Because we need to realize something. All of us must stand before the judgment seat of you. Lord, help us to be truthful. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.